Hi there and welcome to the NTU podcast. My name's Katie and I'm here today with our very special panel to learn everything about student support at NTU. The NTU podcast is a great way to find out loads of information about the university, whether you're applying, a current student, or just wanted to find out a little bit more. This is the place for you. But as I mentioned, today we're talking all about student support and I've got a fantastic panel here today to help me. So if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself.
Hi, I'm Dior. I'm a biological science student here at the uni, also a mental health champion as well.
Amazing. And yourself?
Yeah, I'm Paul Dodsley. I'm the student health development officer and I work in student support services.
Fantastic. So we've got both sides of the student support here, a student yourself and also helping out as a mental health champion. And also I'm a fantastic member of our staff that has no doubt provided some fantastic support to our students throughout the year. So yeah, thank you both for joining me today. And I'm really excited to hear a little bit more. For many students, moving away from home can be a really big adjustment. For many people, it's moving away from home for the first time, so having to live independently, cooking and cleaning, as well as sort of adjusting to a brand new city and way of life. This can all have a really big impact on our well-being and our mental health. At NTU, we've got an amazing team who are dedicated to looking after you and making sure that you get the very best out of a university experience. So student support can cover obviously such a wide variety of things. So I'd just like to really break it down to basics and find out what student support means at NTU and what support is available. Paul, if you wouldn't mind just running through that for us.
Yeah, there's so many services there that can provide that support. An example is mental health and wellbeing support. There's student finance support. So there's a raft of services where that support can be provided that really can help students.
It's great to hear there's so much variety of support available, but let's say a student who is at the university, how would they go about accessing that support?
I think it's just going onto the website and finding out the correct services for them, and it's just emailing them, maybe filling out a referral form if it's wellbeing and support. And just one thing to notice, that we do find that when students do come through, it's two or three things that's going on for them. So we do provide that wraparound care.
And is there any way that people can access this support in person?
Yeah, we have a program called Pathway Support. So any front desk that we've got on each campus, a student can just turn up and say what's going on for them. A member of staff will sit down with them and then they'll navigate them to the correct service.
Amazing. And what would you say if people were a little bit nervous about trying to access that support?
Yeah, we always say we never want any student to suffer in silence. So that early intervention, catching it early before it starts is important. And we're all nice staff. And we want to help you. So we're there to kind of get you back on track. So as much as it might be daunting, just kind of opening up and disclosing, and, you know, as soon as you can do that, then we can help you get back on track.
Yeah, we're here to help. Just let us know. Oh, that's lovely. And it's nice to have that kind of peer-to-peer support alongside having that step between, you know, speaking to your friends or speaking to a member of staff that sometimes might feel a little bit daunting. Having a mental health champion there who has been in exactly the same situation as you, has moved away from home in some circumstances, it's really nice to be able to have that bridge. Is that what you found, Paul?
Yeah, that's why we set up the programme. We find it really comforting that we can have students that are advising other students, and we're kind of building that sense of community, which is great. And, you know, some of the things that we can do with that is help students settle in and advise them what activities they can access. And yeah, it's really important that we use students for the work that we do.
And who else knows the student experience better than students themselves? Yeah. So yeah, like you say, there's so many different things that can go into that people might just want a little bit of support for, or just sometimes someone to listen, isn't it? It can literally just be a little extra friend, which is great and a really, really nice scheme. So it's a really like positive thing that students can think about if they are looking to come to NTU, that there's all this variety of support available.
Yeah.
So as somebody with dyslexia, I actually got diagnosed whilst I was at NTU, and I found the amount of support available for those students that just needed that little bit of guidance when it came to things like assignment writing and exams. There was such an amazing experience to be able to get that support. And I'd love to know a little bit more about what support's available for students, and if anybody that is listening that also has a similar sort of learning difference, what support they can expect and how they go about disclosing that.
Yeah, we do a lot of conversations through open days, and one of the top tips we always say is please disclose any support needs that you had at school or college and any kind of disability or mental health problem. Now, what that does, it helps us put that support in place through summer so we can contact you through summer. And then when you start, you know you've got that support already in place, and that's kind of peace of mind. We also advise that you apply for DSA, so you can do that through the UCAS process, and that's money that pays for the support and pays for extra equipment depending on what your needs are. And it just really helps that phase of when you do start, knowing that that's all in place, that's peace of mind.
And if you are unsure about it, our team obviously here to support, and they can direct any questions to the university beforehand, whether it's at the university or to our engagement team as well.
And some of the times that might be the judgment of which university you go to, like knowing that that support is in place is comforting to know that that's going to help me get through my studies. And if there are any questions, then always get in touch with the team, because they're more than happy to give advice and help.
And what are some specific examples of support that students might be able to expect?
Yeah, we do get a lot of students coming through with various disability conditions, and that's where we can give that advice. We can put statements of access in place where they do get those extensions and extra time, which is obviously helpful, so they're not kind of stressed in knowing that I suppose it's really helpful knowing that they've got that breathing space and giving more time to be able to hit those dates for themselves in terms of handing dates. We're a very supportive team. So for some students, it may be weekly meetings where you can sit down with maybe a member of staff, whether it's dyslexia, and to go through things that are bothering them, to help them with their studies. We have a great library team as well that can help with different study areas. So there's a vast array of support there. So biggest tip is, please disclose before you come to university.
Definitely. Thanks, Paul. And so if students are currently here and they might be unsure if they do require a little bit more support, Dior, would you mind explaining a little bit from a mental health champion what that might look like and how they can reach out?
I mean, a lot of people would normally reach out during the events we've done. I think I had one before where instead of going out and actually doing the event, because he was the only person that wanted to show up for it, we had sat there and just spoke about different things and obviously different ways of helping to deal with stress during exams, and about obviously what help he could get with different mental health illnesses as well, and like different supports that student support offers as well.
So it's really nice to be able to get that one-on-one time with the mental health champion, just to disclose anything that they might be unsure about, chat through anything that's going on in their lives. It's really nice to have that great support network around our students, and sounds like that was a really great sort of, you know, interaction, got the student the help that they needed.
I hope so. Yeah. I haven't spoken to them since, but we did have a nice lengthy conversation about it.
But you gave them all the avenues to go down and everything. And that's why it's so great to be able to have the champions that you say have these events on, that be able to have those contact time.
Yeah, I think some of the activities that we do as well, we find that rock painting is very kind of relaxing. So while students are painting the rocks, the mental health champs can talk to the students, and usually they start to open up. So those conversations that we have with students really are kind of really important. And then the student mental health champs, as Dior would say, that we do that signposting and raise awareness of what services are there.
It's a really great example of the type of events that are actually going on. It's not always just sort of a group talking session where you're expected to come along and kind of be put on the spot or anything like that. It's a really casual format where people can build those relationships and sort of share if they feel comfortable and just have another safe space, which it sounds like.
Definitely.
Yeah. Is there any other examples that you'd like to share?
We use a therapy dog on campus as well. Dave the dog, yes.
I still haven't met Dave the dog and I'm upset about that.
I haven't seen Dave the dog in a while, but Dave the dog's still here.
He was on campus yesterday. Oh. So, I mean, a lot of people like pets. So it's just, sometimes it's that remembering what pets they've got at home, and it just gives them that awe feeling for a while. But then it gives us that opportunity to chat to them. Like tomorrow, yesterday we did Dave the dog because of exam stress. So it gave us opportunity to say, how's it going? Is everything okay and whatnot? Because some of the time you might say, I'm really stressed. Well, you do know that you can access support that can give you extra time if you do need that.
Yeah. And I think it's when you're saying then about people have pets at home, sometimes a lot of people's stressness, even if it's not necessarily that they need extra mental health support, is just feeling a little bit burnt out or tired or stressed with the exam season, that just having that close connection to home and remember that you might be just a little bit homesick as well can really help you get you through those times. I really enjoyed when I was at university. I remember them bringing little goats and little puppies outside the students' union, and that was one of the best days and really helped lift up those spirits when you were felt like you was just living in the library for that time. But yeah, it's great that there's so many different opportunities.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the work that we do is from co-production. So asking the students, you know, what should we be putting on? So like the mental health champs, a lot of that is leverage from their feedback. So it's really important we get that. Perfect. So we're doing the right things.
At the start of the episode, Paul, you mentioned a little bit about how you have some financial support that we can offer, because sometimes that can be a bit of a stress for students and they might need a little bit of guidance being the first time that they might be managing money all their lives. Yeah. So do you want to explain a little bit about that and what kind of we offer?
Yeah, sometimes when students do come through with finance issues, we find that's the centre of the things that's going on for them. But obviously that influences their mental health to be affected. It can obviously have impact on their studies. So the team that is available is great. They can provide lots of different support. We do Money Matters workshops through our financial and capability officer, just to raise awareness how to finance effectively. I could do a bit of that, I'm sure. We have a specific team that can help with your student loans if they are coming in a bit late, and they can do that leverage with you. They can provide one-to-one money advice appointments as well. We can just book in online and just sit down and talk about what's going on. We have monies that you can access, which is free money through called hardship money. And so providing you meet the criteria of that, then that can get you out of sticky place. But yeah, I think the key thing there is don't struggle with your money, because it can affect you. It's just coming forwards and talking to the team.
Definitely. And like you say, there's almost never too much budget and advice that you can get in life. I feel like some of those workshops I would find really useful. But like you say, starting understanding that it's not uncommon to not have fully understanding that money and at 18 when people come into university. So if you need that support, even if you don't necessarily need that support, but just want a little bit more guidance or more knowledge, there's a great array of options available.
Definitely, for sure.
Dior, as a current student at NTU, have you got any sort of tips and tricks for handling your finances you might want to share?
I mean, anytime I get paid or get from work or get my student finance payments in, I always make sure to set aside so much, because obviously I ride motorbikes, a set amount for my insurance each month, so much for fuel, obviously put some aside for any unexpected problems that might come up, such as like needing a new part or something, or just in general. Obviously putting money aside for food, and then obviously clothes, and just putting some aside for fun or whatever.
You need to have the fun money.
Definitely.
Need to have that there. It's almost quite daunting when all that money drops in at once. Sure. You know, you've got to split the whole year over three payments in some ways. I remember, like you say, first getting that money in your account and just making sure that your essentials are budgeted for the whole term is a great way to look at it. So having a spreadsheet or having your own budget tracker to allow you to separate those out is really going to allow you to avoid that stress that you say, like either you've got to the end of the term and don't quite have enough money or an unexpected finance. So it's just really important to make that time to do so. Would you agree, Paul?
Yeah, definitely. Because as soon as your money comes in for your first term, obviously your accommodation money's coming out. And I suppose before you come to university, you've got no idea how much you're going to be going out, how much you could go out every night if you wanted to, how much you're going to be eating. So kind of having a little bit of an idea of what Dior said, having a little bit of a budget is really important. And as silly as it sounds, it does work, something that you can track to, because there's loads of opportunity and there's lots of free events as well. So use those. It don't always have to cost. And we know now they do more curricular activities. So Student Uni has lots of activities through their social events and whatnot. So there's lots to get involved with.
Definitely. And there is also a free budget tracker.
Yes.
Yes, there is. There's a free one that NTU offer, and that's so handy.
Yeah, I know when we have stalls and stuff, we just have little ones that we hand out as well.
Oh, really? Like an actual physical one?
Yeah, that the people just stick up on their fridge or something.
You never fully get handle on, you're never going to be an expert in money unless you're literally Martin Lewis. So having all that support, even when you're a university student, can really help you set you up for after as well.
Definitely. We know a lot of students also, they work part-time through employability, so that's a good way to to top your money up. So through the Mental Health Champions, they get paid for the work that they do that gets puts on their student card.
And if there is any more information you'd like to know about fees and funding for university, we have two great episodes already on the NTU podcast. Whether it's your undergraduate or postgraduate applications you're looking for, head to our YouTube channel to find out a little bit more. We've spoken so much about the different types of support that people can access, whether that's one-to-ones or counselling, or even if it's just a bit of stress management, NTU are here to help. But I think it's important we sort of talk about why that's important. You know, looking after yourself is a number one priority. And I'd love to just head to yourself, George, a little bit more information about why it's so important.
Obviously making sure you're taking care of yourself is really important when you're at uni, especially this time of year with exams.
Part of university is, like you say, is achieving the grade that you want, but you also want to be able to maximize what else there is to get involved in, whether it's sports, societies, just making friends, exploring the city. And if you're stretched too thin or you're not feeling 100% yourself, it can be really hard to engage with areas like that. Do you agree?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to a student who's particularly feeling a bit overwhelmed and they've come to you asking for a bit of help? Where would you point them to?
Say at least once a week, maybe more, depending on how stressed you are, how overwhelmed. Just take time for yourself, even if it's like an hour. Go do something that you'd enjoy, like going to the gym, just going on a nice walk.
It helps just having that time to yourself, and especially, like you say, you can be constantly with other people, whether you're living with people, whether you're on course with people. It's nice to just take that time to yourself and reflect, and like you say, do something that makes you happy. That's great advice, especially for going for a walk. I think that always solves so many problems for me anyway. Paul, what about you? Would you say if there's anything else you'd like to add about why it's important to look after your mental health?
I think you just need to be kind to yourself and give yourself just a bit of breathing space. You can't be studying all the time. And there's great opportunity to learn new skills. I think you learn a lot about yourself when you're at university. So those life skills that you take away are essential part of being at university. And there's so much to get involved with. So just the settling in phase, you know, get involved in the societies, do something new. That way you'll learn, you'll meet new people and make new friends. And I think everybody has a little bit of homesickness when they first come to university. So everybody's going to be in the same boat. So one of the key things that we do advise is just get a doorstop when you first move in. So have your door open, and then it gives you opportunity to kind of chat to people as they're moving in. It's do things that make you happy, and there's loads of opportunity there. So Wednesday afternoons you get off in terms of getting involved in those different activities, so it's not all work and work. You do get a lot of time to do other things, and the city's great. We do find that a lot of students that study at Nottingham, they tend to stay in Nottingham afterwards, so that says a lot about the university and the city itself.
Definitely. And I think the one someone said to me once, the three things to bring: a doorstop, a pack of cards and a speaker, because there's something to connect with everybody about there. And yeah. I think one point they really said there, Paul, which I find really important to share, is that homesick doesn't always come straight away, because those first few months of university are so exciting. You're meeting new people. You might be going out quite a bit in the week, whether it's exploring Nottingham or going to meet all these society taste sessions. It can really fill your time, that sometimes when that sort of calmness comes back, almost, you can feel that homesick. So it's completely normal to not feel it straight away, but kind of have it in dribs and drabs here and there. Maybe particularly you're watching a TV show that reminds you of home or anything like that. So always just, like you say, be kind to yourself. And if you are feeling a little bit of homesick, that's fine. Call home or do a little thing to help you remind it. Look at some pictures and just know that you are here and you're here for a reason. But it's sometimes it comes at different points, doesn't it?
Yeah, we do events throughout the year. So obviously you'll have Freshers' Fairs. We do events from November because we find a lot of students start to seek support then, because that's where things have settled down a little bit. And then we do events after Christmas again, and obviously around exam time, because that's always a pinch point for students. But, you know, expect to meet challenges, but again, use that support that's there, because it's there to help you.
And challenges help you grow as well.
Definitely.
Challenges aren't a negative thing. You know, this is a part of it, and it's building your character, and having these new experiences are a great, great way to find yourself. That's what everyone says about university, isn't it? It's where you find yourself. Dior, would you agree with those facts? Is there anything you'd like to add?
I agree, to be fair. But obviously, like, when it comes to people being homesick, friends I have who live on campus over in Clifton, they've decided like every Wednesday night, it's like a family dinner night. And we had one yesterday and it was me who cooked.
Oh, so you cooked dinner with each other in the flat? So you have like
No, it was me who cooked it for all of us to sit around and eat.
Yeah, so you cook it all together and it's like, oh, that's so nice. So it's a nice way to have that time with each other and have a home-cooked meal and just really build those connections. Is that what you found from that?
It's concerning when they cook, though.
Oh. So if you've got students that are listening that might be struggling at university, what steps can they take to help get that support that they need?
Yeah, I struggled at university with the settling in and also with the course itself. So I used student support, which was great. And then obviously library support was there as well. So we have a robust options that are available in the library, so they've got skills of success they can help with revision, timetabling. We have library student mentors, so there's students that can also give you that support around assignment writing, referencing, so they can really kind of give you a good start into settling in and also the kind of university life. Because sometimes when you write a report as your first kind of project, it might be different from what you've done before, so definitely use that support that's there through the library, because it is really vast. Like I said yesterday, we had Dave the Dog in the library. That was part of our Stamp Out Stress campaign, and that went down really well. It just gave the opportunity for students to take that little bit of a break. We gave them free goodie bags and resources and sweets and things, and also obviously Dave the Dog was there as well. Our student support advisors, so they're located in each academic school. Anything that's impacting your studies, they can help you get back on track. So they can put in statements of access, they can put in NECs as well. So that's somebody else that you can sit down with as well. But also don't forget your course tutors. They're a great gateway into the support and maybe somebody to talk to.
That my course tutor was the person that first thought that I had dyslexia and stepped me forward, because they were obviously seeing how I was writing my work. And so, like you say, if you're ever concerned or thinking that you're finding the adjustment to that new way of studying, for example, if you've only done exams and you're doing assignments, reach out and see what support that is there, because the library is so extensive and they explain it in various different ways that you might not have interpreted the first time. Like Harvard referencing, for example, that can take a few times to fully understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for that, Paul. So we are coming towards the end of the episode today. So just wanted to say thank you both so much for coming. But I just want to summarise today's episode a little bit more. So Dior, if I can come to you, if we have anybody that's listening to this podcast that's a little bit nervous about coming to university, what advice would you give them?
Just don't worry, because everyone's going to be in the same boat as you. They're all going to be nervous, especially if you're moving away from home for the first time. So obviously just try to get into a routine of like meeting people, doing your course, join different checkout societies during freshers' fairs. And obviously if the one interests you, join it.
Yeah.
So then a nice way to make friends and help build an extra routine and make sure to register for it with the GP as soon as you start here, especially if you're moving away from home.
Yeah, really, really good advice. And a bit like what you were saying earlier about making sure you're spending that time as a flat to like cook each of your meals, that eating a sort of healthy, balanced lifestyle is a really important point as well. Would you say that's a big tip for students coming to university?
Yeah, try to have a nicer array of diet instead of just whatever you can.
And even like practicing cooking before you come to university, that is something that I didn't do and I really, really regret. I think just getting a few meals that you can nail down that are packed full of all the nutrition you need, that would be my advice. Paul, is there any other tips that you would give students that are looking to look after themselves at university?
I'd say give yourself time to settle in. There's no rush. Use the support that's there. Use the people around you, like people at home. And I suppose when you move to university, you've been surrounded by friends for like 17 years and then you're in a new environment. So definitely give yourself that time to settle and then it'll probably improve through time. But remember, that support is there that's got your back, that can provide that advice and that can make all that difference just in case that you are struggling.
Definitely. Great advice, both of you. Thank you. Guys, it's all we have time for today on the NTU podcast. It's been so interesting to learn about student support at NTU and how our students can go about, accessing it. Have you both enjoyed yourself on the NTU podcast today?
Yeah, it's been nice hearing about different options and supports that I didn't know about myself.
Agreed. I've learned so much today. And yourself, Paul?
Yeah, definitely. It's good to sit down and talk about the support that's available. Definitely. Hopefully that's helpful.
I have no doubt at all that it's been helpful to all our students, whether it's prospective students looking to apply or current students. There's been a little bit of information for everybody. So thank you both so much. And thank you so much for joining us today on the NTU podcast. Join us next time where we'll learn even more about life at NTU. See you later. Bye.
Bye.